Philip, what have you learned so far about Frank?
Well, he's obviously a drunk, but he's obviously very passionate about his subject. So this makes for a kind of fascinating sort of a guy who's disappointed, I think, by the way that his career has gone, but he's still passionate about English literature. But it means that he's always a bit of a victim to his own failings, which are largely to do with drinking. So all around his room he has bottles hidden away, and at the least excuse he will reach for a bottle. But then when Rita turns up, he sort of spruces up his act a bit. So he starts to clean himself up, he stops drinking, until eventually he starts realising the inevitability of the fact that Rita's going to have to leave him when she's got her education, and I think that sort of brings the drink on again. So he's a complex sort of a fellow, and he's his own worst enemy.
I think you're finding things in his character more sympathetic than you would just by reading it. Is that because maybe my prognosis is wrong, or is that because in learning the part you're finding out so much more about this guy?
Well, I think you've got to find something in a character that you like or that you understand. No matter how monstrous they are, if you're going to play that person, you've got to find a reason, something that drives who they are and what they do. I feel not a lot in common with this guy, but I feel like I know him because, you know, I was in an English department in a red brick university in the north of England at around this time. So I've seen these guys, you know, and I've seen how they work, and I kind of understand where they're coming from, you know. I understand the joy they take in what they do, but I understand how much they can be trapped by what they do into a sort of academic field, so that they know a set of students for 3 years and whatever and impart their knowledge, and then those students go. You know, they fly the nest and they've got to start all over again. So any relationships that you establish, and I don't mean relationships in an ill way, you sort of get together with the minds of these people and inspire the minds of these people, and you inevitably get to like them and enjoy their company and whatever, and 3 years later they've gone.
Now, you were a student at Manchester University, so in lots of respects, I guess this is taking you back quite a bit. And are you, whilst you're here, have you looked at any of your old haunts, where you used to live, that sort of thing?
I've been down to, I used to live in Whalley Range, and I used to live out in Rusholme, and those are my kind of stomping grounds. But a lot of the places that I knew in Whalley Range, I mean, there was a pub on the corner of Range Road called the Court on the Hop, which has now totally disappeared. And I think is now a community centre. And, you know, the End of the Line restaurant, which used to be on Oxford Road, which was like the first American diner-type restaurant I'd ever been to, that went while I was here. And I think the plaza on Upper Brook Street, which was the great sort of African curry restaurant, where virtually all they sold was biryani, either in Hot Killer or Suicide, and that's gone now. And I deeply regret that, because I'd like to have gone back there and experienced that all over again. But, you know, what can you do?
In terms of the character itself, did you ever come across, sort of looking back, oh yeah, such and such, you taught me such and such, he had elements of Frank in him? And I mean, is there anything like that? Were there people that taught you who were like Frank?
Yeah, it's a blend of all of them, really. I mean, he's in his mid-50s. I had a lot of tutors and lecturers who were a lot younger than that, and I had a couple who were certainly much older than that. But he's a blend of all those people, and, you know, I've taken elements of, you know, the way they move, the way they talk, as I think inevitably, you know, the author did, that he's taken elements of people that he's known and worked with and seen. And so I've always got somebody in my mind when I'm, you know, at certain points through it. It's not always the same person. It's just bringing in different elements of people I know. Because you've got to make it, as well as being realistic, it's got to be theatrically. And a lot of the people would have been inevitably, I mean, rather dull in the way that they spoke or moved or whatever. So you've got to give him a certain flamboyance for it to work as a theatrical character. But there are elements of people in it, yeah.
Now then, you're doing this in the Lowry. Is that a space you've worked before?
My partner came and did a show at the Lowry. She did the Round the Horn show here. So that was the first time I've been. And I've seen a couple of other shows at the Lowry, but I've never played it. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm living in Salford Keys at the moment, so that's a whole new experience for me. I'm sure it's a whole new experience for a lot of people, because it's hardly been there 5 minutes.
Opened in 2000, I think it was, something like that. Yes, it was one of those huge millennium projects. When you go to a venue that you've not worked before, do you actually... This is a bit different here, because obviously you're rehearsing in one place and the venue's somewhere else. Yeah. Do you want to have a look at the venue first, or is it a question of one stage is very much like the next?
No, every theatre has its different challenges, and that can be exciting as well as, you know, intimidating. We have been able to look at the space here. I mean, if you're on tour, you know, you might go in and you might have, you know, virtually just a day to get used to it. So you have to be able to adapt to different spaces. But this is the one place we're doing this, and it's a lovely space, and the acoustic is good and everything. So I'm really looking forward to it.